Okay.
Let's immediately out of the way. Yes, it's true. I am a self-avowed practicing metho nerd. And I know I'm not the only metho nerd in this room or online. Amen? For those of you who are unfamiliar with the term, let me break it down for you. Metho nerd is derived from two words. Methodist, pertaining to or describing one who is United Methodist, and nerd, a person who is extremely enthusiastic and knowledgeable about a particular subject, especially one of a specialist or niche interest. So a metho nerd is one who possesses a strangely warmed heart and is drawn to, with great gusto, to all things United Methodist. This is how much of a metho nerd I am. When I have to go to London, Robin and I schedule our flight arrival so we can go immediately to Wesley's Chapel for midweek prayer and tea sandwiches. I love our United Methodist archives, and I never fail to get a thrill from George Whitefield's thumb or John Wesley's death mask. I do drive, as every good circuit rider does, under the watchful eye of John Wesley. And of course, when I drive, I'm singing hymns from our hymn book with lustily and with good courage, just as John Wesley instructed. So tell me you're a metho nerd without telling me you're a metho nerd. I believe General Conference is that special place of heaven on earth for metho nerds. So take a look around. You are not alone. You have found your people. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may your Holy Spirit guide my words and inspire all our thoughts this morning. We ask humbly that you breathe on us breath of God and fill us with life anew, that we would love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Amen. Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew. Throughout Matthew's Gospel, Jesus emphasizes to his followers the difference between earthly kingdoms and God's kingdom. I love a recent post by the United Women in Faith that explains so well why some of us in English, and I apologize if this doesn't translate well, in English, some of us use kindom instead of kingdom. Kingdom without the G is one more translation of the Greek word basileia that has been translated in a number of ways like kingdom or reign or dominion. The Latina theologian Ada Maria Isasi Diaz proposed using kindom to reflect the kind of interconnectedness and relationship Jesus invites us into through his teachings. God desires us to live in companionship and community, into love and liberation. Now, all through the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' teachings point to his followers into this deep interconnectedness with God and with one another, and had something to say about religious teachings that fractured the body. If we look a little earlier in Matthew, go to chapter 23, we see Jesus harshly criticizing those scribes and Pharisees, those religious leaders who labored over religious law. I'm not pointing fingers here. Who were meticulous in writing it down and giving pronouncements to the people about how to live. The problem was they were more concerned with law rather than love, with regulations rather than relationships. This rigid adherence resulted in an in-group and an out-group, which broke down relationships between all those who were faithful. The legalism of the scribes and of the Pharisees distressed Jesus greatly. 8 times he wags his fingers at them, saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees! Woe to you who teach about God but don't love God! Woe to you who keep some people out of the kingdom of God! Woe to you who convert people to a dead religion! Woe to you who use money as religious bribes for salvation! Woe to you who get so caught up in the minutiae of the law and fail to embody the fullness of God's law, one that includes justice and mercy!" Jesus knows our tendency to break relationship with God and others. So he makes it very clear that all the laws boil down to just two, and what are they? Love God and love others as yourself. He then gives us the perfect object lesson in today's scripture to hit home the message. Just as you did it to the least of those who are members of my family, you did it to me. Jesus makes it plain that we are to receive one another, treat one another, serve one another, love one another, as if we are serving him. We need to see the imago Dei, the image of God in each person, not just in the people who look like us, who talk like us, who think like us, who love like us, who believe like us. There are no excuses for us anymore. The body of Christ is big, and it is beautifully and exquisite when we embrace it in all its diverse beauty. Yet we all too often question that diversity. We fail to honor the differences found in the human family, and in so doing, we reject Christ himself. John Wesley, in his sermon on visiting the sick, had much to say about the scripture and why we tend to overlook the lost, why we overlook the lonely, why we overlook the least, why the rich overlook the poor, why the majority culture looks right past those who don't look like them. Here's what he said. I wish I could say it in an English accent. "One great reason why the rich in general have so little sympathy for the poor is because they so seldom visit them. Hence it is, according to the common observation, one part of the world doesn't know what the other part of the world suffers. Many of them don't know because they don't care to know. They keep out of the way of knowing it and then plead their voluntary ignorances as an excuse for their hardness of heart." Amen? Amen. He keeps going. "Indeed, sir," said a person of large substance, "I am a very compassionate man. But to tell you the truth, I don't know anybody in the world that's in want." How did this come to pass? Why, he took care to keep out of their way. And if he fell upon them anywheres, he passed over on the other side. I don't know anybody in want. I don't know anybody in the world who's an immigrant or a refugee. I don't know anybody in the world who's LGBTQIA+. I don't know anybody in the world who's exploited. I don't know anybody, fill in the blank. Because one of our sins is every single one of us has someone we don't see. Jesus doesn't allow our voluntary ignorances or our hardness of heart to give us a pass on loving our neighbor. Every neighbor, especially the ones we would rather overlook. We can't be the church if we choose to overlook some members of the body of Christ, whether a local church, whether an annual conference, and let's just name it, even an entire denomination. If we define who we are by who we are leaving out, it begs the question, have we ever let Christ in? I serve the Mountain Sky Conference, which includes the states of Montana. Thank you, friends. We worked hard on that cheer. It includes Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, and one church in? Thank you. We owe a special debt to Reverend William Wesley Van Orsdell, or Brother Van. Brother Van came to Montana in 1872 when it was very much still the Wild West. Now there are lots of stories about that itinerant circuit rider, Brother Van. One time he and a group of people were held up by a lone gunman. When the gunman demanded money, Brother Van said, "You wouldn't rob a poor Methodist preacher now, would you?" "Are you a Methodist preacher?" said the gunman. "I certainly am." After a few moments' pause, the robber replied, "You can lower your hands. I'm a Methodist preacher myself." What set Brother Van apart was that he was willing to go where no Christian preacher had ever gone before. Seedy saloons, scrappy mining towns, Native American villages. But Brother Van didn't just preach the gospel. He built relationships with others, and he made God's love visible by founding more than 100 Methodist churches, 50 Methodist parsonages, half a dozen hospitals, a university, and a children's home all across the state of Montana. But he didn't do it alone. He called upon deaconesses. He called upon deaconesses to help carry out this ministry of service to those others failed to see. Deaconesses, those Methodist lay women of the 19th and 20th century who were called to a life of Christian service, went to where the hurt was in community, to lives that were in need, and established cutting-edge ministries for those the world overlooked. I give thanks to God for the deaconesses and home missioners who will be consecrated today. These ones were committed to living out their vocations in ways that seek to alleviate suffering, eradicate causes of injustice and all that robs life of dignity and worth, facilitate the development of full human potential, and share in building a global community through the Church Universal. Give them a hand. Every Christ follower is called to a life of service. Amen? Amen? John Wesley said, "There is no holiness but social holiness. If we love God, then we will love those whom God loves. And this love will be more than lip service. It will be made visible by what we do and what we love. And that means we see and stand with those who are pushed to the margins. And make no mistake, it is this embodiment of faith that made the Methodist movement so irresistible as it spread around the globe. Methonerds! Methonerds! It's time for us to draw inspiration from those who went before us and reignite the flame of faith. To live out Scripture so fully that we see Christ in all we do. This is our moment. This is our moment to reclaim the name United Methodist and be a witness of God around the world of God's great love for all of humankind. So, Metho nerds, all we who love the United Methodist Church, are you willing to make God's love visible in all you do? Are you willing to meet and serve Jesus in the outcast, the downcast, and the cast aside? Are you willing to meet and serve Jesus in the one who's old and lonely? Are you willing to meet and serve Jesus in the one who's three and whose belly aches in hunger? Are you willing to meet and serve Jesus in the one who sleeps on a floor with six brothers and sisters? Are you willing to meet and serve
Jesus in a transgender person
who has taken a deeply spiritual journey to claim their God-created self?
Self.
Are you willing to meet and serve Jesus in the one who's been orphaned, having lost both parents to AIDS? Are you willing to meet and serve Jesus in the one who has no place to sleep tonight except in the steps behind your church? Are you willing to meet and serve Jesus in the one who is uneducated, unskilled, unwanted, and unemployed?
Are you willing
to meet and serve Jesus in the queer clergy person who has been faithful to God's call, even when the church has tried to deny that call? Are you willing to meet and serve Jesus in the one who's chased by cops,
sits in jail for seven months
with no charges brought and no money for bail? Are you willing to meet and serve
Jesus
in the one who still clings to hope
and is determined to
do? So we love the United Methodist Church.
It's time for us to rise.
It's time for us to stand up. It's time for us to reclaim the name. May we join Jesus in changing the world,
engaging in social holiness as we
church to the margins where the herd is, ensuring that no one is out of sight and therefore out of mind. Metho nerds! I say metho nerds! Let's do this! Amen.